RunAsRadio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show 216 with guest Colin Melia, recorded Wednesday, June 1st, 2011. Run As Radio is produced each week by Quap Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow the boys on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Hey, this is Richard Campbell, and I'm at DevTeach in Montreal, which is really a developer conference, but I've run into my friend Colin Melia. Hi, Colin.
Hi, Richard. Hi there.
And you're one of the few guys I know that I think lives a similar life to me, that we kind of have our feet in both camps, dev and IT pro.
Yep. Have to do both of those tasks, unfortunately. Yes.
Yeah. For better or worse.
Yeah.
I think it's a fun space to be in, just because we get all the interesting bits. Yeah. We deal with a lot of hard problems.
I want to say, unfortunately, it can be unfortunate on both sides sometimes, but...
Yeah. And you've been firmly entrenched in the, you're a believer in phone and cloud together.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we had a panel discussion last night about mobile.
Yes.
And one of the things we're talking about is, how do you get that utopian solution?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it comes down to, we can't really create a solution that works on all platforms easily, but you can have a cloud service that's accessible to all solutions. So that having something in the cloud is one, is your really closest thing to a unified solution.
And I think one of the things that that IT pros are struggling with is the security elements of the cloud. Like, if I have a phone app that's, say, an internal app of some sensitivity, it's one thing to call back to my own services, another thing to call back to these cloud services.
Yeah, I mean, these cloud services, like the Azure service that Microsoft has just I think it's been getting more recognition recently. Those services that, you know, the standard things you have to do, you want to use HTTPS and SSL certificates to on these services, obviously.
Right.
If you're not doing that, then you're kind of asking for trouble. But then the phone, so Windows Phone specifically, doesn't easily support some of the other messaging or WS star standards yet.
Right.
That's probably moving forward with the new version of Windows Phone Mango, but it is one of those things where you have to be careful, and people have concerns about privacy and where the data's stored. That's one of the biggest questions I get is, you know, with Windows Azure, where are the data centers, all this kind of thing,
right.
Patriot Act, blah, blah, blah. So it's really a...
And I almost wonder if the regulatory compliance stuff is overblown, because it doesn't seem to... When we actually dig down in the company and find out what their liabilities or issues around that are in that, and I do this work... We usually find that there isn't actually real issues. They're very specific markets. There are financial markets, medical markets. There's certain businesses where absolutely clearly it's black and white. This data must stay in the country.
Yeah. And I think that also people think that the cloud proposition has to be all or nothing. And that's
right.
Not necessarily the case.
Well, and I wonder if I don't believe that you can go all cloud. I think it's invariably a hybrid.
Mm-hmm. Especially for an existing enterprise, you've invested a lot of time and effort into your infrastructure in your office, and you have it like Active Directory infrastructure or some other kind of infrastructure, and that identity provider as it is something you're not going to throw away very easily.
Well, and it's also something that I think is a stumbling block for some folks considering cloud. If I want to authenticate my users in the cloud, somehow I've got to stretch Active Directory, my internal organization, into something like Azure. But I understand there are services around that. I don't know if you've worked with them.
Yeah, I mean, so ADFS actually has been around for a couple of years. It's again one of these things that's creeping up out of the woodwork, that people start seeing it and think that's a really good idea. So you can take your existing Active Directory infrastructure, and you can use this Active Directory Federated Services,
right,
which is a set of services that run inside your office, and you expose a tiny pinprick through the firewall so that other people can call in and have this kind of metadata conversation, or rather all the systems can call in, have this metadata conversation and exchange identity on a claims basis.
Right.
And in that way, when you go and call a cloud service, the cloud service kind of redirects you back to this ADFS system in your office. You authenticate with it, and then a token gets passed out to the cloud service. And now your office identity is federated or usable in the cloud, which means you only have to log in with your existing login ID. I mean, I've still got 100 different passwords and,
sure,
you know, right? But this means that enterprises can actually use cloud services and not even realize they're necessarily even using them.
Well, it seems to me you would always keep your Active Directory internal. You just make this opening through ADFS to allow that service to run there.
I mean, I was asking some Microsoft guys the other day about this, and I was saying, is there ever going to be a service whereby you don't have Active Directory inside your premises if you're a small shop, a small business?
Right.
And even, I think, with a small business server, you still have Active Directory inside.
Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, if you go for Office 365 full-on, do you have Active Directory in the cloud and it's maintained in the cloud with some UI? And then you'd have like a read-only domain controller inside your office that actually acts as, you know, a slave domain controller. You just log in through that and have no actually Active Directory in your office. That seems to be a possible way to go.
Well, and something actually I've been looking at with some of my clients were, could we actually set up stable VPN connections or MPLS connections to a central data service? It wasn't too far away that would actually host the AD, because I want to get those servers out of those branch offices.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you can ever get one out, because I think was it 2008 R2? Mm-hmm. There's the whole file caching. I'm not sure what it's called. There's a branch cache.
Yeah, the branch cache, which is a very clever bit of technology.
Yeah, that branch cache technology. I don't know if it, and that caches with a local server, I believe, as well. So I think you'll always want some sort of machine that caches. So if you have a machine, why not just have it be the domain controller?
Because in reality, especially a read-only domain controller, it's such a lightweight footprint. It's a teeny little thing. Yeah. I almost wish we could get it like an appliance. I like putting NASs into branch offices.
Right.
Yeah. As soon as it's a PC, stuff just seems to break.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, an appliance makes sense, especially if it's some sort of redundant dual thingy appliance. You can just buy it, plug it in, off you go.
And they authenticate with AD. I mean, they do a lot of clever stuff. It's just, where does the AD live for that?
Yeah. So with Office 365, that seems to be a way that people go. I mean, Office 365 includes SharePoint, Exchange, and Link now. I think I might be missing one out of there.
The rest of Office and so forth. I mean, it's crazy what's in that package. Yeah. And I've definitely looked into the ADFS bridge for Office 365 that you get yourself out running Exchange 2010 internally, get that working, get the ADFS bridge going, and then you're actually able to just move your mailboxes up to 365.
And I think there's even an option there that you can have some of your mailboxes in the office and some of your mailboxes in the cloud.
Well, and this is where we're getting that regulatory compliance issue again, where some countries require email origin in that country to live in that country. Mm-hmm. And 365 simply lets that happen. And ADFS, of course, is a hub to that. But I'm thinking more, getting back to our original discussion here of a phone and a cloud. Mm-hmm. The ADFS bridge is still the thing to do authentication in that cloud service piece.
Yeah, I think the thing is that, of course, there's no real kind of Active Directory kind of awareness with the phone itself.
Right. Not for phone 7 at this
point. No. I mean, you can actually log in. You'll be able to look with Windows Phone Mango. It might be called 7.5. There's the option of actually logging into Office 365 accounts, and there's an easy setup process on the phone. And right now you can actually log into an existing SharePoint. So if you had an existing SharePoint with Office 365 or with current Office SharePoint's business, BPOS, it's called
SharePoint Online.
You could actually log into that using a kind of domain, a username and a password. So you're kind of really just logging in from the edge. The phone isn't aware. It's not being an Active Directory client in any way.
No, it's just doing a straight up login. And it drives me crazy that Mobile 6.5 had all this, had group policy in place. I mean, we gave up a certain amount of functionality to move over to Phone 7.
Yeah, and I think it's probably, I don't know if it's good and bad, because obviously people are saying, well, this isn't really an enterprise device.
Yet.
Yeah. But also, in another way, it's almost we're approaching it now from a better angle, because we're looking at these federated in a federated way. Mm-hmm. So we haven't just jumped back in straight in there.
Just made it a domain client.
Yeah. So this way with federated services, if you do it with client, I mean, this might be worth talking a bit about claims-based identity. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got your Windows-based authentication, and developers might be, and IT pros might be familiar with forms-based authentication. Mm-hmm. So where you have a website, you have a login, and that's based on some database somewhere, the identity. But with claims-based authentication, you're actually talking about saying, I have some claim, like my email address is this, my identity is this in some way, based on some attributes. And those attributes are issued by some identity provider, and then that identity provider is trusted by a relying party. So Active Directory Federation Services basically issues tokens, using SAML, which is a format with XML, and that's given to a relying party, and the relying party kind of unpackages that and looks at the certificate and says, oh yes, it's from your It's from a domain controller, I recognize.
Right.
But it's not domain controller specific. It's the SAML is a, you know, a standard across different authentication technologies. And it says, okay, I recognize you. I see that your email address is this. I'll use that as your identity. And I recognize that you are from the other place. And it's important because, let's say I'm a contractor for your business.
Right.
And you give me access to some service that you use. Say, I don't know, let's say you use Gartner or something.
Okay.
Right. So you've got a, I'm not saying, I don't know if Gartner does this, but let's say your company uses Gartner and I'm working for you and you need to give me access to a Gartner account.
Mm-hmm.
Now, traditionally, maybe you'd go to the Gartner website, you'd create a username and password for me and you'd give that Gartner username and password to me.
Right.
And then I'd start using it. Now, when I stop working for you, you have to remember to go to Gartner and log in and deal with that.
Remove that account.
Yes, right. Now, with the federated services angle, with using ADFS, for example, you would go to, I would come to you. You would add me in your domain controller as a user, let's mm-hmm. say.
Even though it's an external user.
Yeah, but... yeah. However, you want to categorize it in any OU right. you want to put it into.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you would do is you would federate your identity to Gartner. Gartner recognizes your domain
mm-hmm.
and people in your domain. And then Gartner basically says, okay, I trust that if I get a token from your organization that this guy's allowed in. So I log into your, I go to Gartner. It redirects me to your ADFS system mm-hmm. through that little tiny pinprick in the firewall. I get a token. I give the token to Gartner. Gartner goes, okay, yeah, you're a user from Richard's company. I use the service. And then when I quit with you,
mm-hmm.
you just remove me from your system. Not the Gartner system, for example.
Right.
And then I no longer can get that token to give to Gartner.
Yeah, next time you go through that process, yeah. Gartner says, I couldn't get a token for you.
Yeah, so because you're the one. So all that control now lives with you. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be maintained by Gartner. Gartner doesn't care about whether I'm a valid user or not, all that kind of stuff.
Right, and we don't create these temporary yeah. accounts and things, which yeah. Gartner didn't like either.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, the only product I know at Microsoft that really takes claims-based security seriously is SharePoint 2010.
Yes, that's right. It does take ADFS. Now, I mean... anybody who builds an application with ASP.NET these days can actually use a thing called the Windows Identity Foundation or
right.
framework.
WIF.
WIF, yeah. Get a whiff of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I remember I did a presentation in DevTeach actually last year called Get a Whiff of This. And it's a bit nebulous, but you can actually use that to build your applications to then rely on ADFS-based tokens.
I just don't see developers doing it.
I think
from our perspective as IT pros,
yeah.
we want this.
Yeah.
I just can't see how we convince developers to jump down this path.
The funny thing is, it's really easy. You just right-click on your project. You basically say add WIF thing in there once the tool gets installed. It's
right.
not difficult. It's just that you have to then you have to go to your IT department and say, hey, we need a firewall opening here. So that, you know, somebody can come in and get a token from the Active Directory.
I would even hope that we have ADFS standing up for something else and they can use the same one. I mean, I'm just hoping more and more I'm seeing that we need ADFS for a variety of different things.
Yep.
So maybe it's already going to be standing there. My bigger thing here is looking at how developers actually have to construct their apps to be a little more claims based and the kind of claims that have to come from us as IT pros
yep.
to say these are the claims we need to have.
Yeah, I mean, usually the simplest claim is who are you, like an email address. And
mm-hmm.
when you develop an application, I know we're going a bit developer here, but when you develop an application, it's just that you have to. There's a way to plug it in, so you're talking about identity and role.
Mm-hmm.
And most, you know, if you're using membership services or other. You build an architecture using membership services. You're just talking about identity and role,
mm-hmm.
and you can map that claim into an identity yeah, yeah. and a role.
Right.
So it's not a big stretch to do it. It's just that there really isn't a here's how you do it step by step. Make it really simple. There's some great MSDN videos. You know, there's some fantastic whiteboard Channel 9 videos.
And I like your basic point here, which is that a claim is not voodoo. It is
yep.
just a mapping of identity and role together.
Yeah. And if you're an IT pro and you're looking at this, you're just installing an ASP.NET application.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really make any difference. Your real job there is to look at this and say, okay, I just need to make sure there's access to the ADFS in the organization.
Right.
And it's like a one-time deal as well. Once you set it up, maybe you add another trusted partner after that,
mm-hmm.
but there's not a lot going on, but you're enabling cloud connectivity and federated services all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
So there's jobs for both the IT pro and the developer to do. But, you know, once you do that, you open up the possibilities of connecting with other systems in the cloud.
Sure.
I mean, when I think about the cloud, I don't think about it has to be on some sort of scalable elastic thingy somewhere
right.
with Amazon or Microsoft. It could be any other thing you're connected to, your partner enterprise, another system that has ADFS. Mm-hmm. You know, anywhere you can go.
Yeah, this has got doesn't have to have anything to do with the cloud. This is a better way to share security information between two organizations.
Yes. Well, to federate identity between mm-hmm. two organizations without giving up control of the identities that you manage.
Right.
It's such a pain to have to like create other username and passwords for people in other organizations.
Yeah.
I have this all the time where we're dealing with customers and they say, oh, you know, we really don't want another login.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. Can we just log into our intranet? Yeah. They have internet access, but they want to log into their intranet and they want to launch, for example, learning content or whatever it is we're producing. They want to just log into their system and have it launch. Mm-hmm. And they want our system, but they still want our system to be able to track individual users so we can report on what they actually do.
Right.
And that's fine. As long as they're issuing claims like an email address or something that is unique, mm-hmm. then we can easily track that.
And we can feed that basic identifier information back again. Yeah. These are the users that used it.
Yeah.
No, I like it. I just don't see enough acceptance of it. Like, I think your Gartner example is a very good one because that's exactly the sort of thing you'd actually want. If I'm the CTO and I bought a Gartner account, and let's face it, it's freaking expensive. I want to know that my people are reading this stuff.
Yep.
So the fact that we could do that federated identity setup with Gartner and have them report back on who read what, mm-hmm. that's good news for me. It justifies my budget.
Yeah. I mean, if you're the guy in Gartner who's setting this thing up, all you need to worry about is some sort of policy that says, well, how many different identities does this account have?
Right.
How many subscribe or simultaneous subscription users are they yeah. allowed? And then you just say, oh, count the email address identities that come in.
And I think everybody's already built those sorts of things, but they built them for themselves rather than using what's already there.
And they may have built them with just Windows authentication in mind. Mm-hmm. So there might be a little bit of pain involved in there, but especially if they've done forms-based authentication already, that's probably a smaller jump. Identity-based.
So identity-based authentication.
Yeah, and again, since you can map identities into identities and groups. Mm-hmm. If you look at there's even a diagram that says that, you know, the claims-based identification classes are based on, inherit from the original role and identity classes. So mm-hmm. it's not very far away.
I wonder what happens when we, you know, you look at that scenario and we're now talking hundreds or even thousands of different federated relationships.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason why the thing won't scale. Obviously, then you have issues of if you're the IT pro and you're exposing ADFS. Mm-hmm. through a firewall, you have to go through the standard things. Well, okay, I've got my firewall, you know, however that's done. You then have to expose ADFS and you might have to have some load balancing on that mm-hmm. for the requests coming in.
Scaling ADFS is an interesting thought all by itself, but I'm just thinking about the size of the store and the, mm-hmm. the ritual to actually establish the trust relationship. Mm-hmm. And we tend to think of those in very small numbers, mm-hmm. but if you're actually going to do this as sort of a retail front approach, you've got to start thinking much larger numbers.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Microsoft Azure Access Control Service mm-hmm. Exists in the cloud to access things that you expose through Azure.
Okay.
And they actually have a claims mapping system that's done. So all the requests, all the claims come in and hit the Microsoft Scalable Cloud, and those get converted into something that makes sense to your system, which may also be hosted on Azure. Mm-hmm. So if you're on the receiving end of these claims coming in, rather than being requested access, then you can use Azure and scale with Azure. And in fact, the access service that Microsoft does, you know, you let Microsoft worry about that part of
right.
it.
Right. And what's the relationship between access control services in Azure and ADFS?
So you can actually set up, let's say I publish a system in the cloud, mm-hmm. and it doesn't have to be all or nothing. I could publish the web front end in the cloud.
Right.
I could have the database on premise, mm-hmm. and I can use Azure Service Bus to connect the two. Mm-hmm. So my MVC application is in the cloud, and my database or backend is somewhere in the office, and mm-hmm. there's a connection between the two using Service Bus. So what happens is somebody in an organization logs into the computer, has their domain identity. Mm-hmm. They go to access the service in the cloud, and what happens is even if they're, you know, out of the office on the road with a laptop,
right.
they get to access this a service that's hosted on Azure, and they don't know it's on Azure, and they get redirected back to their ADFS system. Mm-hmm. The ADFS system gives a token, which is then given to Access Control Service, mm-hmm. And the Access Control Service is configured to accept that ADFS domain,
right.
And it converts that token into something that makes sense to your application. You know, so you might take the group, the Windows group that mm-hmm. you're in, and you say, okay, this is, we'll call that the group that you're in, or, you know, are you in this group? Okay, you're an administrator for this application. Right. Are you in this group? No, you're just a regular user for this application.
Right.
Converts that into a claim that's trusted, And then that's passed into the ASP.NET application, which then uses Service Bus to access a web service in that back office somewhere, mm-hmm. gets back information, and off you go. So it just all just connects together mm-hmm. in a fairly seamless way. And the end user is just sitting in a web browser, not really knowing what's going on.
They really didn't know what happened. No, they just hit this site. Yep. There was a pause, and it logged them in.
Yeah,
and knew
well,
who
actually,
they were.
They hit the site and they get a redirection to a site that looks like their organization.
Right.
And they can know that you can have whatever green bar SSL certificate you want to know that you're in the right place, right? You log in and then you get redirected back into the web application, wherever it is. Mm-hmm. And the same thing can be done with a smart client application or a desktop application. Mm-hmm. So if you, as long as you can handle kind of like the SAML tokens and the WS security standard, mm-hmm. you can do the same thing. So hopefully in the next version of Windows Phone, you can have an application on the phone that does the same trick. So you try and access somewhere and it tells you actually you need a token. So you go to whatever token's appropriate. This is actually called the realm. So you go somewhere and based on what you type in, like your email address, if I say, Colin@Microsoft.com, right? It goes, okay, you're with Microsoft. Well, we know that, your token service is over here. So it redirects you to the token service, which is ADFS, possibly running behind a firewall.
Right.
You get your token, your phone receives the token, the phone then sends the token to the cloud-based service, and that all happens very quietly in the background. Mm-hmm. And then you're in. You know, so you can do the same thing, but with an application, not just with a web page.
Well, and it's inching towards a sense of single sign-on.
Yeah.
There's still a few parts.
It's interesting because some people don't actually necessarily want to have one identity.
Well,
right?
I'm totally with you. Yeah. And one thing to break.
Yeah. But some people actually want to have different identities. So, I've got my IT admin hat on now. Or I've got my I'm just Colin hat on now. Mm-hmm. Or, I've got my Colin professional hat, or I've got my Colin with a company, different company hat mm-hmm. on. So you can have different identities. And then you might, it's a case of probably just having different ADFS installations at different locations mm-hmm. that recognize you in that realm, as it's called, and issue a token. And if that realm is trusted by the application, then your identity means something to that application. Mm-hmm. But, mostly for IT pros, it's a case of, just understanding that, ADFS exists. And that WIF exists, and that there's just some steps to go through to configure a system to allow it to happen.
Yeah.
I also think it's quite funny. This show is run as, and that the Azure tools are one of the few things that you actually still need to run as administrator to run on your machine. So if you're developing an Azure based application, there's a Azure kind of emulation that runs on your machine as a developer. Mm-hmm. And right now you still have to run Visual Studio as an administrator to do that.
It's a high privilege thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're messing around with IIS on your own machine when you run it. So it needs that access.
Yeah. It does. Microsoft just hasn't dealt with that yet. I mean, we're supposed to be working more and more on least privilege, but we keep running into apps that just don't behave.
Yeah.
it's the reality of it. I'm thinking about the things that get people to stand up ADFS. I think Office 365 is going to stand up a lot of ADFS for people.
Yep.
But the other side of that is SharePoint in general. SharePoint seems to be sliding nicely, at least into the 2010 version, into this intranet, extranet role mm-hmm. where you're going to have more externals mm-hmm. needing to access things that are really kind of internal.
Yep.
And the ADFS approach is the right way to do that.
I think the other problem you'll run into then is the complexities of Microsoft licensing.
Yeah, there's a whole other layer. I mean, thank goodness for enterprise agreements, just because it mm-hmm. tends to simplify that a fair bit.
Yeah. I mean, because when you start talking about the fact that you're accepting users, it was almost clearer cut without federated services. Mm-hmm. Because before you'd have, you have Exchange or SharePoint inside your firewall.
Yeah.
If you want people to connect, you need like an external connector license and all mm-hmm. this kind of stuff. Well, even then, that was a bit fuzzy. I mean, are these full-time contractors with you? Then maybe they don't.
Right.
Or, where does that fit? But now the fact that you could have people using it who have some identity that's federated from almost anywhere.
Right.
It kind of blurs the line a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah. Do you really want to issue CALs for each of those people?
I mean, then you've got, enterprise agreements make things easier, but also, if you're hosting the service, you might end up running into the Microsoft service provider licensing agreement or mm-hmm. the supplier agreements, which are like a rental way of doing Microsoft software. So, it needs some figuring out.
Harder.
The question about, what happens with IT pros in the cloud, I think they end up doing more of this stuff where they have to invest in understanding the infrastructure architecture to set this kind of thing up.
Yeah. Actually run it properly and figure it all out. Jumping back to the mobile cloud part of this conversation, thinking outside of Windows Phone 7, does this identity model work with an iPhone or with an Android? Like, what can we do?
Okay,
there?
So in browser, this whole claims-based thing is, in a browser, it's called passive authentication.
Right.
The idea that you basically, it happens every day. If you log in from any device, you log into, say, a Microsoft property, and you're using a live ID, you're actually doing claims-based authentication.
Right.
You just don't know it.
You do that little redirect.
Yes. Yeah. That whole jump around. It's doing a bunch of posts around. So that all happens kind of fairly seamlessly.
Until it doesn't.
Yeah. Then you can't log out and it says you're still logged in and you have to, close the machine or reset and delete cookies and stuff like that.
Does break once in a while, but when it works, it's pretty invisible.
Oh, yeah. So you can do that already with a web-based application, which is another reason that those kind of applications are quite attractive. The other way, I mean, there's no reason why a native application on those platforms can't do the same tricks as long as they know how to do
web calls.
Web calls and the WS security and those kind of things and can wrap up and encrypt tokens.
Right.
They do the same tricks.
Yeah. So in theory, it's workable everywhere. It's just a question of how hard it's actually going to be.
Yeah.
But an interesting set of problems to make all of that work.
Oh, yeah. And it's one of those, it's kind of not necessarily understood. And it's people go, oh, it's, security. It's, some sort of black box type nebulous kind of wizardry. So,
well, that's how we feel about security people in general, right? It's a whole other layer of problems that people just do these things and we're not quite sure how.
Yeah.
Where do you go? I mean, you've already admitted this stuff's not well documented. And actually understanding how to make it all work together. Where do you go for your information when you're trying to get ADFS set up right or use ACS with Azure?
There's a number of places that, again, that's kind of like the problem. There might be some strong, the one shop fits all. This is how you do it, but it's probably a white paper that's 300 pages long,
right?
We all love reading those, for breakfast or something. So, if you're going to do it with Azure, you can go to, azure.com and leap off from there and find the stuff about access control services. Mm-hmm. I think with Microsoft, there is, under MSDN or even under security, if you just search for ADFS, you'll see that whole collection of products that are there. And no doubt, under TechNet, there's similar documentation for setting up ADFS. I haven't had to look at it recently, but there's little pieces. And if you're a developer, you'll look at Windows Identity Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the best thing Microsoft could do to improve the situation is really to say, really connect these things and have more than a cursory sentence that says, you do it with this, but to have very clear guidance on how these things all connect together.
Right.
And there have been, no doubt there have been screencasts and videocasts and sessions in maybe TechEd. There may be even a TechEd session, I imagine, that talks about this. And if there is, that's the thing that should be front and center on the Microsoft properties when talking about this.
Sure. But in the end, you end up searching the Microsoft site for most of this content.
Yes, pretty much. And even though it's Microsoft, again, it doesn't have to be limited just to Windows Phone or Windows Mobile. It could be Apple or a BlackBerry as well.
Any of those possible. Hey, Colin, thanks so much for talking to us on Run As.
Great to be here.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio. Mm-hmm.